once again.
Hello, and welcome to the Christian Life Podcast. Our subject for today is the Five Love Languages by Pastor Gary Chapman. Here to elaborate on the Five Love Languages is our guest speaker, Reverend Mark S. Thompson. Here's a little bit about our speaker. Reverend Thompson was born in Erie, Pennsylvania, to the parents of the Reverend Frederick and Francis Thompson. Reverend Thompson received his B.S. degree in industrial management from Gannon University in Erie. Following graduation, he was employed by Federal Express Corporation as a courier and then promoted and moved through the ranks quickly as a manager in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Washington, D.C., and Salisbury, Maryland, where he was responsible for the entire Eastern Shore. When he moved to the Eastern Shore in 1996, he accepted the call of ministry at First Baptist Church in Salisbury and served there in many capacities. He is continuing that service at Emmanuel Wesleyan Church in Salisbury, where he serves as outreach director for the Adopt-A-Block ministry. This ministry delivers over 3,000 pounds of food to over 250 people every second and fourth Saturday of the month. In June of 2005, he was appointed by the governor of Maryland to serve on the Board of Education for Wicomico County. He was elected vice president of the board in 2006 and president in 2008. He received his Master's of Education degree from Wilmington University in December of 2010 and is working as the mentor, coordinator, and pupil personnel worker for Wicomico County Public Schools and second vice president of the Maryland Association of Pupil Personnel Workers. He and his wife Felicia are the proud parents of David, 25, and Joshua, 21. He lives by the song, "If I can help somebody as I pass along, then my living shall not be in vain." Now, let's go into our segment with our host, Carlton Holbrook, and our guest speaker, Reverend Mark S. Thompson.
Hey, well, it's good to be here, Carlton, to talk about something I didn't know anything about. You believe that? And all the marriages I've performed and marriage counseling, I wasn't sure what you were talking about when I first heard this love languages. I said, is this something that nobody knows about? But I was wrong.
Well, for you all that don't know about the five love languages, Gary Chapman, mm-hmm. and he was a pastor mm-hmm. and a marriage counselor.
For many years.
And he came up with this to show how married couples, how people love one another.
Yeah, you know, and what I find, and it's kind of ironic you started talking about the love language, is that when I do marriage counseling, I use strictly from the Bible, what God says, how in Genesis, how he formed man and he pulled a woman out of Adam's side. But what we find out is that we go so biblically about some things that the average person now, and especially the ones that are not even in church, they have no idea what you're talking about. What I found so interesting with Gary Chapman and these five love languages, it's still biblically based, but it's just more, I would say, contemporary on how do you really maintain a relationship and a marriage. So as we go through this, you're going to see that there's biblical principles, but the bottom line here is two people actually knowing each other and through that knowing each other, how they're going to make that relationship work. Yeah. Marriage is not like a car. This is what we've been married. My wife and I, Felicia, have been married 20, going on 28 years. And it is not, I always joke around, it's not like buying a car. You know, after about 10 years, you say, can I have a trade-in? I kept my car for 300,000 miles, and I said, it's time to trade it in. And I told her, you know, not too long ago, I said, man, after 25 years, do I get a trade in? But it's not about that. And she always brings back to me, our marriage says, till death do us part. And I think that's where people miss out. They treat marriage like it's buying a car, buying another pair of shoes after it wears out and gets old. Yeah, yeah. And marriage will get old. That you want to trade in and get a new model, get a new pair. But it's not about that. And I think that's what we see not only in the five love languages, but how you maintain and sustain a marriage throughout years.
That is very important. I was as I was studying this, I came across a saying. It says that marriage is more than two people who love each other, or individual autonomy or dignity. Marriage provides the foundation for the family, and the family is the fundamental building block of all human civilization. When this foundation is strong, all of society is strong. And I thought that was just so strong and so powerful, because it starts in the home. Because the training and the raising of the kids, would you agree with me?
Well, and you find that right, because now first you have to understand what marriage really is. And it's not just when you just get tired of dating, you decide, let me just find somebody to settle down with and hang out with. Now I have somebody to go to dinner with. No, it's not about that. You have to look at marriage was ordained by God. When we look in Genesis, in the first chapter, Genesis in 27th, 28th verse, it talks about how God ordained this to happen, meaning that it wasn't by accident. But when he looked at Adam and said, you can't be alone. You need to have someone to be a help meet. And this is what's important. Someone who's going to be with you to help you as he was in that garden. God didn't say, hey, you know, you want somebody to hang out with. He wants someone who's going to help the kingdom agenda here on earth. And that's what people need to understand. When we look at the biblical principles of marriage, when God took the rib from Adam, he didn't take it from his foot to say, I want someone you can step on. He didn't take it from the hand, someone you can hit. But he took it from the side, saying that there's going to be someone who's going to be equal with you, walk along with you. And that's what people need to understand. But I really find now that, and it's probably just in society, when you look at the music, the shows that's on TV, everything now, it's about that Eros love, that erotic love, that sex that just lasts forever. It doesn't last forever like that. No, it doesn't. That's just TV. Nope. But what we see here is that when two people get married, and I say this to all of my couples that I in marriage counseling, if you don't have God first, there's no need coming to me. There's no need having marriage counseling, because again, marriage counseling, I have to look at it as biblically based, saying it's a God ordained institution. If you get married and you're not saved, then it's going to be very difficult for you to stay together, because you don't have that glue to keep yourselves together. My wife and I have been married 28 years, and we've had our ups and downs, and we argue and over money, over relationships gone bad. But what I found out, when we get together and we get to that part where you want to say, I want to leave, we always say divorce isn't an option, because God put us together. And we always say, what God put together, let no man bring asunder.
That's right.
Let no one pull apart. Right. But you'll find out if you really have God in your life and those hard times come, instead of leaving, what you're going to do is start getting together and praying and asking the Lord to strengthen what's going wrong. But as you find, you know, in these love languages, when you still need to know how to please your spouse.
Yeah.
And that's the excitement part of marriage, is God put us together to have fun together. But I think sometimes as men, we start to forget that. We get so worked up in our work and what we see other people doing that we forget some of the basic needs that our spouse has. And then what happens, and I find this is what happens with a lot of women, especially my wife, if you stop showing love, they start to shut down.
Yes, yes.
And the best example is, you know, you can drive a car only so far without putting gas in it. And then you start driving on fumes. My marriage was driving on fumes for a while, where I was just going through the motions, we're going through the motions. What was keeping us together, those fumes of thinking that, you know, we have to stay together because God put us together. But we have to really mean that. And that's when we went to marriage counseling. But we had to go to a spiritual, religious, to bring it back to our remembrance.
Right.
Hey, why did you get married? And here's what God says. But when you drive car so long, you got to keep filling it up. And what I look at these five love languages is some of that fuel, things that you got to add to it. So it does work. And in fact, I think I might start using some of these along with some biblically based principles.
That's right. You know, you asked us some of our questions. I'll go ask you. Cause to me, when I watch you and your wife, you know, we go to the same church and I watch you. I said, it appears y'all have a good relationship. And then my next question was going to be, so what kept you together for so long?
Right. Just going back to the basics. Why are we together? And for our family, our children are grown now. But what you find now is start doing things that are together on, again, the biblical principles. What really strengthened us lately is this small groups of Bible study at our church. We're studying together. When I was preparing, you know, as a minister, and a lot of ministers have troubles in their marriages because they start putting either church first and not their family first.
Yes.
God didn't say that. Put your family, God first, your family next, and then everything else follows. And what I found, even just speaking for myself, when I was prepared messages, when I was doing my Bible study, I was doing it separately. I would go to my upper room and say, don't bother me. I shut the door. And it's just me while she's someplace wondering, why am I being excluded? Why isn't he allowing me to be, if I'm his helpmeet, why am I not here? And I found out that I wasn't spending that quality time. I was being pretty selfish. But when we found out, started studying together and started understanding what the Bible is saying about a lot of different struggles and things that people go through. Wow, it brings you together. And that's what's one of the love languages, quality time. I mean, actually spending, not just time. Because you can be in a house. What's that song? Your body's here with me, but your mind a million miles, a thousand miles away. It's an old R&B song. Your body may be here physically, but your mind's not here. And I find sometimes as men, and again, I'm speaking for men, we have to understand that with our wives, that just being there is not good enough. Yeah, we can sit there and play and watching football, whatever we're watching, but are we concentrating on her needs, on what she needs? And that's one thing with the quality time.
Okay, let's go into the five love languages, which are words of affirmation, receiving gifts or giving gifts, acts of service, quality time, and physical touch.
Yeah, you know, when we look at words of affirmation, using words that build up, we have to understand that our words, you know, we grew up, and I'm probably older than you, but we grew up where it says, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words never hurt. Oh, that's a lie from the pits of hell.
Yeah.
Words are damaging.
Yes.
And why I say that? Because we see the power of words, how they can tear down. Even the Bible talks about how life and death is in the power of the tongue.
Proverbs 18, chapter 21st verse. Yes.
There's life and death in that power, what you say. And when they start off saying words of affirmation, words that build up, what do you say to your spouse? Woman, what do you say to your man? When I lost my job, I got fired from the Salvation Army. I remember that. Man, my God, I was at FedEx for all those years and not a blemish on my record. Went to Salvation Army, worked there 6 years, and all of a sudden, they terminated me. Mm. I felt I was less than a man.
Yeah.
I came home. I remember coming home that night and telling Felicia, I've been terminated. Her words could have really cut. She could have said, what did you do? She didn't do that. She just started praying for me because she saw the struggle in my face.
Man.
And she just said, let me just pray with you. And I was like, they fired me. And I mean, I just couldn't believe it. I might have been cussing and fussing, but I couldn't even hardly breathe because I was so upset. But instead of her, those words tearing me down, she was lifting me up. That's that words of
affirmation.
Yes. That's that lifting up thing. And sometimes women, they'll treat their man. Women, if you're out there, you'll start talking about your man's lazy. He don't do anything.
Yeah. I'm gonna
go ahead.
what you about to say, Proverbs 25th chapter, 24th mm-hmm. verse, mm-hmm. say it is better to live in a corner of the housetop mm-hmm. than in a house shared with a quarrelsome wife.
Ooh. we can talk about that. That'd be a whole nother podcast here. You don't want to be quarrelsome. But nagging wife. You don't want to be a nagging type of wife.
Yeah.
Or only a man that's not doing what he's doing. But
my thing is just putting your man down. That's very hard. And like you said, you could use words to build someone up or you could use words to tear them down. And when you use words to tear down your spouse, you're really tearing down your own house. You're tearing your relationship. Mm. And, you know, I hear so many people, I'm going to say especially the ladies, don't get offended, but I hear a lot of women say how they want a good relationship. They want a man to love them, to do this and that. But their actions shows the opposite of mm-hmm. what they say they want.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got to invest. What you want, you invest in. Mm-hmm. You understand? So if you want your husband to pour life in you, then why are you speaking death into him?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And it's just funny why I just hear women talk about that, but I see the opposite from you. How you expect to give something that you're not giving yourself?
Well, and that's some issues because, you know, we look at it's how you saw love and how you love was given to you, the relationships that you saw. And that's unfortunately now with some of our younger, how were they brought up? What did they see? Who were their role models? I mean, if you look on TV, role models, you see they're getting married, getting divorced, getting married here, shacking here, doing all kinds of things. Who are your role models? Mostly, you'll see there was a single parent in the house. Who taught that woman how to receive love from a man if only a woman's in that house? Or what about that single mother who's having multiple partners coming in the house? So what's that daughter or even her son going to think? Oh, well, this is how I'm supposed to live. So again, a lot of the issues I see in married couples, even beginning to get married, I ask them, so tell me about how you were brought up. What was your life like? Did you see a loving relationship? Not saying if you didn't see it, it's still going to go wrong. You just have to work at it. But a lot of relationships didn't have that role model, those two couples together. And then what they looked at was, you know, my mama had a couple partners. So, or he or the sugar daddy came over and took care of my mama. Or
could also be, okay, now you said they brought up in a single family home. Can social media or television even influence the way they think?
Most definitely. You know, even I always tell the young people I talk to in school, you know, I show the music and say back in the day, I mean, we had Stylistics and we had the Commodores, the love music. Yeah. You had Marvin Gaye, you had Barry White, baby. I remember Barry White. I used to write down Barry White lyrics and say, baby, I'm here tonight. Can I talk to you? But now we have all this bump and grind and beating and pushing and
gotcha.
Everything is so rough. Yeah. That's why we're into this sexual abuse over women, because the men, they're hearing all this. It's nothing but women exposing themselves on back of motorcycles and guys calling them all kinds of hoes and bees. So what kind of life are they expecting? A good man comes up, because you always say, why is a woman always want a roughneck? That's what she's accustomed to. But someone that comes, and his funny name's Carlton Square. you know, I always look Carlton from The Fresh Prince. It looked like he was square. He had nice clothes. He had a job. But why do women want a man that's nice, that's not cussing them out?
But, you know, I recently spoke to someone about that, and she said, well, she tried to talk to someone that didn't look like a hoodlum or whatever, but she said it turned her off. She just...
It turned her off because now women see, again, social media, they look the rough, the guys, the, yeah. You know, I'm not going to say rap music and all those things are bad, but just the style, how they act, how they walk around, carry themselves. Yeah. That's what they say. That's the kind of man I want. So someone whose father knows best, down to earth man, no, they don't want that. No. But it gets back to, again, you know, another one, receiving gifts, part of the love languages. Sometimes we think receiving gifts means I'll give my wife, my baby, my boo, I'll buy her a diamond and give her roses and all this kind of stuff. It's not about that. What we find out, and it says here, it's about the thought that counts. What I found out is, why do mothers like to have Mother's Day cards and Christmas cards, Valentine's cards from their kids? Because it's handmade. They had to spend some time to do it. Not just go and pull a Hallmark card off in the Walmart aisle, or go to a dollar store and buy two for a dollar. But I mean, actually spend some time. What I found with my wife, the best thing is when I surprise her. And something that took me, if I go to the store and buy some scallops and bring them home and actually cook it the way we saw it on the cooking show, that took some time and effort.
Yeah.
That shows something. Yeah. Then going to Olive Garden and buying and bringing it down. She goes, oh, thanks, but.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, because sometimes I like receiving gifts, I guess because of, well, you know, like there were times I would bring my wife like maybe certain candy she like, just something simple. It could be gummies or, you know, just. And it'll put a smile on her face. Because, you know, it's just simple.
It's funny you say that. Because sometimes I go buy some flowers and send it to her. And I look at her and, you going to give me, you going to say anything? Or, and I said, man, if I'd have done this to, somebody else, man, they'd be all over me. But why don't you appreciate it? Because there was no thought. And women act differently than men when it comes to how they receive love. And give love. I mean, their bodies are. Remember, women are receivers. Men are the giver.
Yeah.
Women look at more emotions. Men are more the physical.
But don't you think there's times that men would like to receive something instead of always giving?
Yeah.
I mean, if a special occasion, it's a special occasion, birthday, like Christmas. Shouldn't men expect sometimes, you know?
Well, a real man understands that if he's a real man of the house and he understands that he's a provider, his joy, my joy comes in seeing my family happy. The best thing I had, you know, with my son the other day, he came into me and he said, Dad, I just want to let you know I love you. That he could have bought me shoes and ties and I would have said, hey, thanks, man. I mean, that doesn't show much. But he actually took time and came in and looked at me and said, I love you. That meant more than anything. So again, we have to look at gifts and even the gifts in the love language. It's not about materialism.
It's about the thought.
It's about the thought.
Yeah.
And how you're really feeling inside.
Yeah, your heart.
Giving of something that's really of value. And usually that value is not going to be materialism. That was going to, the Bible talks about where moth and dust corrupt, but something that's going to be eternal, something that's going to be treasure that you can't buy. It's priceless, and that's that gift.
Now, just like the listeners know, now according to Chapman, everybody likes to be loved in different ways. So there's a certain order that maybe your spouse might find more important. One of the ways to be showed love than, like you said, receiving gifts or word of affirmation. They might like. Your spouse might like acts of service more than quality time, or some people might like quality time more than physical touch.
Mm. When you talk about acts of service, doing something that's going to help someone that really needs it. So if you know your wife comes home late, why don't you cook dinner? That's serving her. Or if your husband, you know what your husband's tired. Do something like lay out his clothes.
Yeah.
You know it looks good.
Yeah.
But doing something that's serving him, not so much of just saying, well, you take care of that's your job.
Yeah.
But just serving, acts of service, just doing something for somebody.
You know, now I know my wife, she definitely loves just the acts of service. She likes it when it takes some of the pressure off of her.
It takes
some of the pressure off when maybe if I go to a grocery store, pick up something on the way home or, you know, or around the house.
Mm-hmm. Or who pays the bills in your house?
I pay the bills.
Ooh. See, no, it's so funny. My wife pays the bills. And when we get tight sometime, when it's our access service, it's going there and saying, hey, why don't we do this? Well, let me help out. Let me take this one off of you.
Yeah.
I know you make your money, I make my money, and we have one bank account when it comes to that. But hey, let me do this to help you, just to show that I care.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. You got to show your spouse that you care. You really care.
Yeah. Because I really believe that if your heart is into that person, you would like to take some of the pressure off of them. You know, maybe give them a break so they can even get, you know, do something for they can rest sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe sleep, make the bed up. I know sometimes my wife, that's the point of her making the bed. You know, sometimes just coming home.
Yeah, and it's already done.
Yeah, you know, sometimes the dinner's already done. Yeah, you know, so that's very important.
And here's the key. And I like what he talks about this. He says, do things not out of obligation, but out of love.
Yes, out of love, yeah.
Not out of obligation, but because you really want to, not because you have to. Yeah. And again, when you look at the love languages, mainly for women, they really look at that and say, wow, he did something for me. We expect so much as men. And I'm really hard on men because, again, God ordained us to be the head of the house, not to be the ones looking for something all the time. But, again, to be the head, to provide, to be the covering for our families. Yeah. So in the rain of life that comes, we're the ones that are protecting our families. And nothing worse than a man when trouble's going down, we're hiding, sniffling behind the woman. That's not the order of things.
Yeah.
Again, we have to understand, and we can't say, well, that's too much. No, but this is what God called us to be.
Yeah.
We're the head. It's God, man, family. And we have to understand the order of things. That's why the world, I think, is so out of control now.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, we have most, you know, churches, women are in charge.
I agree.
And I have nothing against that except men, if we were to assume our respective places and be the head like we've been ordained to be, women would love to sit back and allow the man to go ahead. But now we got it all turned around where now women are saying, well, I don't need no man. I can do it all by myself. Come on, that's not biblical.
It's not biblical. And God said, "Was it good for man to be alone?"
So that's a whole other thing there. But but it's just we're out of order, and that's why things are so out of order. I even think that's some of the reasons why some of our young boys don't even act like young boys
anymore.
That's
right. That's right.
They don't have a man in their life.
Yep.
To show them, here's how
you carry yourself.
Carry yourself.
This is what man does. Mm-hmm. You don't play with this. You play with that. Yep.
But that's a whole nother. That's another podcast, man. You got to bring me back.
Yeah, we will be doing that podcast.
Let's talk about. Hey, there's another one here. It's called
Quality Time.
Quality Time. And this is. I'm gonna find that. You say your body's here with me, but your mind is a million miles away. Quality time is not just sitting there, but it's actually being engaged with the person.
Engaged with
actually
devote your time.
Devoting their time.
Yes.
You know how the best thing here, and my wife knows this. I love my football.
My Pittsburgh
Steelers.
Oh my gosh! Why did he say that?
My Steelers.
No, Ravens. Baltimore Ravens.
No. We'll go on. We'll talk about that one, but. If I actually, when I'm watching, I don't want to be disturbed. But what I found out is if I turn it off and spend some time with her or just to talk to her, she'll appreciate that. I got to go back to this one. It's the OJs. Your body's here with me, but your mind's on the other side of town. I would sing it, but I don't sing. But the quality time there is that's what it is. It's all about. When you go out to dinner, and now we're talking about the millennial time. Now, when you go out to dinner, don't put your phones out on the table.
I hate that.
You know, we're into this all the time. Sometimes I look at my wife and say, hey, you talking to me or you talking on the phone?
Yep.
What are you doing here? But those kind of quality time.
Yeah.
Spending time. She should know when you walk into a room, you could be crowded, but all you can do is just look and know that that look is for you. That's that quality time.
Yeah. Okay. And
the last one, hey, here's a good one. The physical touch. And we are, as human beings, we want that physical touch. Babies need it. They crave it. That's why we see in the hospitals when babies are born, especially babies, could be babies who have certain needs, the nurse has to hold them. If they've been abandoned, the first thing is to hold them, to let them feel the warmth of another human being, let them know that, feel like they're loved. Yeah. That's that physical touch. We need to understand that people need that, and your wife, your husband, sometimes just a hug. I'm not talking about freaky deaky passionate sex making, that kind of physical touch, but just, you know, it's just a hug. Just, you know, maybe when someone's going through, just to hold their hand, let them know, hey baby, and just touch them, let them know you're here. We find the most comfort, I find, you know, as a minister at funerals, you don't have to say anything. You just put your hand on them and let them know that you're here for them. And that's that physical touch. Sometimes, however, depending upon how you were raised, you never had it, so you don't want it, and it's kind of hard to get. And this is what I like about, you know, even taking the quiz here, to find out where your wife is or your husband is, to find out what should I do? How can I really get more engaged with them? So on that point, I like this five love languages in the quiz, because it gives you a part of discussion to see, hey, where are we in our relationship? What am I doing kind of not right? Maybe if something I'm really screwing this thing up. Maybe you may not be the huggy feely type of person, but man, but you like to receive gifts, or maybe just like me just to call you and say, hey, I'm just thinking about you. But you just need to know, what is it going to take to keep our relationship live and moving, not stagnant? That's what happens with a lot of relationships. They get so stagnant that they just say, well, yeah, the grass looks greener, but guess what? It's the same grass on the other side, just a different place.
That's right.
You can change your address, but it's going to be the same issues.
That's right.
But again, it's going to take effort and people coming together husband and the wife, and I say husband and wife, you can't be two couple shacking.
That's right.
You have to be married.
You want God bless it. No.
You got to have God to bless it, right. As a union.
Yeah.
That way it gives you something to say, we got to keep this. You know, you can go on and live together and say, I want to test the waters. I want to try the milk. Nah. And I tell women, don't give the milk if he's not going to buy the cow.
That's right.
you have to be married. There's just a blessing in being married.
Well, even sometimes this day and time, I hear guys want to get married and the woman doesn't.
Oh, well, you know, and that's that out of order place we were talking about again.
Yeah, yeah.
Because men haven't assumed their rightful place. And don't get me on this one. There really are very few men out there. And now the whole with gender equality, women trying to find a man who's straight.
Yeah.
We have a big issue with the down low. And women know they can tell that a man if he's going both ways. So a woman is having a hard time trying to find.
Yeah, I mean, because now even the women are going towards each other.
Well, you know, you know what's so interesting about that? And this is what I'm finding even in the schools. What have we told our young girls throughout the years about boys? Don't mess with them. You'll get pregnant. Don't have sex. You're going to get pregnant. We talked about what happens if a man and a woman have sex. Biologically, they're going to come together and there's could produce a baby, a child. We've drilled that into women. Don't have sex with men. because you'll get pregnant. But we forgot the issue of what sex does emotionally, physically, not what is created afterwards, but that emotional, physical feeling that's normal, that's natural, that comes with intimacy, that comes with touching those points of the body. We don't talk about that because that's what young girls now, they say, okay, I don't need to feel that feeling and I might get risk of getting pregnant. Now I can get that same feeling with another woman, another girl. So they're having the same sex that you would have with a man, but they're not in danger of getting pregnant. And that's what I'm seeing a lot now. The girls are with each other because they can get that emotional tie of having someone who says they loves them. They can feel that bodily feeling that happens when you stimulate certain parts of the body. And they don't have to worry about getting pregnant. And now they don't need a man.
So you say when the man be out of order, everything's going out of
order. Everything's out of order.
Out of order.
Everything's out of order.
All right, Pastor Mark, Reverend Mark Thompson. No problem. Thank you for coming on the podcast and talking to us about the five languages of love. And I hope to have you on soon.
Well, hey, I've enjoyed this, and I've never done this before, but it's good just to have just a regular talk. Sometimes people will get too spiritual and lose people, but I hope that I try to make it plain and relevant so they understand. But again, the only thing I know, and that is when you feel that your back's up against the wall and you feel that you're struggling, just can't make it, that's when you look up to the hills. That's when you ask Jesus for help. And he will come. He will come and help you. And anyone out there struggling through things, please make sure just get on your knees and pray and ask God to guide you. Don't be distracted by what I call the noise of the world. The noise of the world is nothing but the enemy trying to lead you astray. But listen, go in that quiet, secret place. We can hear God's voice, and he will guide you and direct you.
Amen.
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 If you were blessed by today's podcast, please don't forget to share it with your friends and family. For the word of God says in Hosea 4:6, that my people perish for the lack of knowledge. To submit a topic for discussion or to become a guest speaker, please contact us via phone at 443-944-9854 or by email at christianlifepodcast@yahoo.com. Thank you for tuning in, and we pray that you've been blessed. Just to sit with me when I need